This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Has thrown away the best thing. They've thrown away sincerity. He's thrown up integrity. Disposable to throw away by something new and nothing new. There's nothing made that's made to stay. Grand obsolescence will make you pay. Paper plates, cardboard states, plastic silverware, automobiles with disposable wheels, wigs instead of a hat. That's how it is. Disposable, brand new love. Not exactly what you're thinking of. Dispose of me when you are through. For fear that I'm disposing you. Disposable, your closest friend. You swore to love right to the end. Your rigid mind won't let you bend. You're further gone than you pretend. Paper plates, cardboard skates, plastic silverware, automobiles with disposable wheels, wigs instead of hair. Lord, that's how it is. Disposable society has thrown away the best in me. They've thrown away sincerity, the keystone of integrity. Disposable, all to throw away. Buy something new another day. There's nothing made that's made to stay. Will make you pay. Paper plates, cardboard skates, plastic silverware, automobiles with disposable wheels, wigs instead of
made to stay.
Plan obsolescence will make you pay. Paper plates, cardboard skates, plastic silverware, automobiles, it's full of the wheels, wigs instead of hair.
Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Today I have a quite of an interesting guest, Mr. Jürgen Steinmetz. And Jürgen is with the ETN, or the also the Hawaii Tourism Association. And it is a not-for-profit, the association is a not-for-profit organization dealing and looking at issues with about tourism here in Hawaii and other places. And also he has the affiliate with the ETN network, and that is about tourism news. So good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me. It was a quick notice, this last-minute notice. While I was traveling, I got in touch with you, so thank you for joining me here in the studio. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Hawaii Tourism Association and also the ETN.
Well, I'm a resident here in Hawaii since 1988. I started a publication back in 1999-2000, what is called eTobo News. We were actually the first internet-based newsletter for the travel industry, and we grow into a global publication with currently about 232,000 readers among the travel industry in more than 200 countries and territories. So we talk about tourism issues all the time. We also work with a lot of the global associations and organizations. I'm on a number of boards like the Ethic Committee for the UNWTO, what's the World Tourism Organization from the UN, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, working on a global scale like we do at eTobo News and living in Hawaii, what is a major inbound tourism destination, you kind of sometimes think about maybe opportunities. You know, we would see in actually traveling globally, attending trade shows in more than 50 countries in just 1 year, and at the same time seeing that there are maybe a lot more opportunities for Hawaii. So back about 3 years ago, there was an issue, right? This was actually right when President Obama was elected. We went to the World Travel Market in London, and unfortunately Hawaii was missing, but everyone else was on the Obama wagon. There was the Kenyans wearing Obama t-shirts, there was the people from Chicago wearing big time promoting Obama, and even a city from Japan by the name of Obama exhibiting. And at the same time, one of our editors actually wrote an article about lost opportunities for Hawaii, what was then picked up globally by major media, including CNN and so forth. And at that time, actually, Hawaii Visitors and Convention Bureau put a website in place to actually look at this opportunity. At the same time, what was happening is the Hawaii Tourism Authority fired their European representative in Munich, and it was a major company by the name of Avia Reps representing Hawaii Tourism Europe. I was pleased with this decision. Not that I have any problems with Avia Reps, but it's a large marketing company, expensive marketing company, and with the little budget Hawaii has, I didn't think they could really do a good job. And when we wrote this article, there was a comment posted by the person who was in charge for Hawaii Tourism Europe telling us, this comment is still on our website, by the way, telling us about all these things Hawaii Tourism did in the past and they will do in the future, when in fact they were fired at the time and there should have been a bidding process going on for a new representation.
Mm-hmm.
My own publication, we also have a German language edition in Europe, announced actually the opportunity for Hawaii representation, and we recommended actually for Hawaii to look at a very small PR company where they can do a lot more money for the buck. And we had three or four companies actually where hand-delivered proposals here in Honolulu to HTA. So before this was decided, I was very surprised to hear a comment posted to our article telling us what Hawaii Tourism Europe will do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came Christmas, and all of a sudden we're getting a press release announcing a new representation for Hawaii tourism. And we did a little bit of research, and these are the same people who represented Hawaii before, just under a different name, same company, basically. I was quite upset because the people that we recommended weren't even contacted or considered. So I thought, okay, let's show what we could, maybe how we can maybe help Hawaii in getting more like a global exposure. So it was right before Christmas. I registered the organization by the name of Hawaii Tourism Association. And I know that's a very official sounding name, but it was available, and it was on purpose that it was officially sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And right before Christmas, we also sent a survey out to our eTurbo News readers. And again, these are all travel industry professionals. And I thought, well, it's right before Christmas. Maybe we get like 50 responses, and we ask our readers what they think about Hawaii, what their challenges is selling Hawaii as a destination, how they think Hawaii could do better overseas, or if they're pleased with what's going on. And then one question also was, would you maybe want to become an ambassador of Hawaii and volunteer your time to help Hawaii as a destination?
Mm-hmm.
After this was all done, we didn't have 50 responses. We had more than 4,100 responses from 88 countries. So there was an enormous interest, actually, in Hawaii. And I tried to share this information with the Hawaii Tourism Authority numerous times. But from the very beginning, we were viewed as some kind of a competition. Even though we didn't charge anyone any money, we were just trying to help and identify opportunities. And then it became so bad that we're literally, I would say, we were abandoned in a lot of ways, and everything we brought up was literally washed under the table. People are not returning phone calls. So it was quite frustrating, because all we did was really we really started a volunteer organization.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we had about 1,000 members, or not members, and 1,000 responses also within Hawaii, and among them, people like Frank Haas, who was the head of Hawaii Tourism Authority International Marketing for many years, who came over to our site, kind of, if there is a site, we really didn't want a site, but came over to us, and we sat down and discussed a lot of things. And these discussions are growing, ongoing on a daily basis. Just this morning, we had an email exchange with the head of the Chinese Hawaii Chamber of Commerce, who's on our team, and so forth. Also, the U.S. Department of Commerce has what they call an export council in various regions. The region for Hawaii is in charge of Hawaii, Guam, and Northern Mariana Islands, and international tourism arrival to the state is considered an export. So they contacted me, and I was able to join the export council. I'm now heading the tourism committee for the export council. So we're working with all our consulates and embassies all over the world in also helping with international opportunities for Hawaii. That's basically kind of the history of how Hawaii Tourism Association was founded or started. We have a website. It's under hawaiitourismassociation.com. It's not much on there, because we all work on our own time and dime. We don't get paid for what we're doing. We're really just trying to help. And it has been a challenging experience to really do that, not only locally, also internationally. We're responding to thousands of emails, media requests from all over the world, from non-source markets for Hawaii. We do this on a daily basis, and we do it voluntarily.
So the association is non-profit, and the only profit arm is the ETN News, online news service.
Well, eTurbo News has been paying to sustain this organization.
Okay.
Just to clarify the record, Hawaii Tourism Association is has not applied for non-profit status, but we don't even have a bank account right now, so I know we're not making a profit.
So, so you don't need an audit.
No, we don't, no.
What, if you would, for listeners out there, your assessment, because you obviously deal with tourism, and How would you assess, or what grade would you give, from your personal opinion and what you've been dealing with, the state tourism authority? How would you grade them, if you could speak to that?
Well, there is a... You cannot really generalize it. Mm-hmm. I think on the domestic part, when it comes to promoting Hawaii on the West Coast and possibly Japan, they have done a good job. Numbers have increased recently. There have been a lot of smart efforts done actually to overcome our situation during the crisis. However, if I would grade it with with an international outlook, a global outlook, outside our main source markets, Hawaii has mm-hmm. been doing a terrible job. We have one of the best images in the world. The word aloha, everywhere I go, mm-hmm. is known. People love to talk about Hawaii. They would, for many, it's a dream to travel to Hawaii. But this is not communicated and even supported by HTA. Just a simple example. When we did our survey, we got a response, among many responses, from a tour operator in Brazil saying we have a Hawaii-dedicated brochure for more than 20 years and we wanted to continue sending people to Hawaii. Why is no one responding to us? We have mm-hmm. been emailing, calling, faxing for not financial support, for just information, for posters and other things. And we've been trying to contact Hawaii Tourism Authority, and there's simply no response. When I contacted HTA, they said it's not one of our target markets. And these are shortcomings we see over and over and over again. Very recently, just a few weeks ago, I returned from London and attended the World the WTM World Tourism Market, what is the second largest international travel industry event in the world. Hawaii in the past had attended WTM and successfully, mm-hmm. but a few years ago stopped this. This year, Hawaii was back. And I was very happy to hear this, so I visited the Hawaii stand, and what I saw was a German girl talking about her love affair problems on the phone while I was standing in front of her for 10 minutes. I could have been a client or
and
someone.
And this is, she's representing
Hawaii, probably from the current so-called Hawaii Tourism Europe. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't even one poster. I found five brochures from bed and breakfasts and smaller hotels, and I found out they paid $500 to have their brochure in London. There was absolutely no one there who could give intelligent information, except there was a separate exhibitor, what was an inbound operator here in Hawaii, who I have seen at many trade shows, and I think he's doing very well doing this, but not affiliated with the state and to promote Hawaii as a destination. Now, when I compare this, for instance, they had destinations like Iraq, like little islands like Fiji, Tonga, all of them in full force. A good example maybe is the Seychelles Island. The mm-hmm. Seychelles Island in the Indian Ocean has 94,000 citizens, a lot smaller than Hawaii. They had 61 exhibitors, and they were doing absolutely great. They actually increased airline capacity into the Seychelles after the world travel market. You saw them at all the major events we were able to attend, like the CNN dinner, the ministerial events, and so forth. And they were out there. People were really interested in the Seychelles. They did great. Same as the Maldives Islands. As I mentioned, Fiji in our part of the world, it's a lot more difficult for Europeans to travel to Fiji than it is to Hawaii. But the world travel market is a global event. So you find buyers and sellers from all over the world. Mm-hmm. You find the Chinese there, both buyers and sellers. You find the Japanese there, both buyers and sellers. And you also find Americans there, buyers and sellers. So it's not a European event. And a destination that is dependent on tourism like Hawaii just needs to be there in full force.
Now, today, in today's paper, there's an article about China and tourism. What do you see with that article and with the other issues facing the Hawaii Tourism Authority? Are they making good investment as China and what have you? Could you speak to that or give us some insight?
Well, obviously, China is a very potential market. Asking me if it's a good investment, I think... if I see what money is available for international promotion, I think it's overinvested in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just looking at the numbers, the prediction is that in 2010 we will have 63,000 visitors from China, but we have more than 100,000 without doing any marketing at all from Europe. Europeans staying longer in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They're staying weeks compared to days on the Chinese market. They're spending more money. Europeans travel to far remote places like Fiji and Tonga or South Africa, the Seychelles, Maldives, anywhere in the world. They don't need visas. Visa is definitely a big hurdle when it comes to promoting to destinations that do require visas. And there is a visa process for Chinese that costs $248, I believe, to obtain a U.S. visa. You have to go to a consulate. You have to meet people, talk to people. Well, a Chinese can maybe go to Phuket or some other destination. You don't have to go through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So there are definitely issues when it comes to promote to a market like this and expect mass arrivals.
And what are you proposing, or what insight do you have to change that, reduce the cost of visas or make them more accessible, or what?
Well, obviously everyone wants to reduce the cost of visa, but I don't think this is, in the current climate of terrorism and so forth, is really an option we would be immediately wanted to change. I'm pushing with our Department of Commerce Export Council to address this to Homeland Security, mm-hmm. and obviously they're very well aware of it. But I don't think that's something Hawaii, with no matter how much money, could change right mm-hmm. away. I would suggest to have to cut a little bit of the budget we invest into what we call main source markets, what now includes China, but Japan, U.S., mainland Canada, and invest more in identifying and going out to other markets.
Mm-hmm.
Other markets, I mean specifically visa-free destinations. What is all of the European Union with 30-some countries? What is Singapore? What is Brunei? These are all countries people don't need a visa to visit us. It's very easy. I would also invest, and definitely not overlook, India as a source market.
Mm-hmm.
If India is English-speaking, Indians don't have to travel in groups. They travel alone. They're comfortable traveling alone. All they need is for someone to invite them. I know when we went out with our survey, I was contacted by many travel publications from India. We had a lot of coverage actually about Hawaii, and I think we had thousands of emails from various tour operators and individuals actually wanted to get information about Hawaii. There's definitely an interest in India, what is has an enormous potential.
Mm-hmm.
We know that not every Indian is traveling overseas, but there are, compared to China, I think right now I'm trying to find my numbers here, but if I'm remembering this, there are 11.58 million Indians traveling overseas. So we said we're going to get about 60,000 Chinese. With a right promotion, I think we can get a lot more from India. It's also mm-hmm. better organized when it comes to, and with less restrictions
mm-hmm.
when it comes to international travel. I would definitely go to these markets, including Europe. There's an enormous interest in Europe, in the U.S. as a destination. I think Hawaii is not exposed as much as it should be. If you compare the promotions done, for instance, for New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco, it should be a natural way for European travelers, especially if they travel to the U.S. several times, and many of them do, to look at Hawaii as a long-term stay at the end of their vacation. Europeans stay weeks. So if you look, for instance, at Germans traveling to the Seychelles or to the Maldives again, it's not by days, it's always by weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the numbers, Germany alone has 76 million outbound travelers. That's more than China and more than India.
76 million?
Yes, million. Out travel, people leaving the country on vacation. So if you look at this, and the disposable income is higher than in the United States, even though Germans... I'm from Germany originally. I know what.
Well, I thought you were from Mississippi with that accent. I didn't know. You fooled me there for a while.
You know, Germans would probably rather save on anything except on their vacation. It is so ridiculous that people on welfare, actually, they can go to the government and apply for the government to pay for their vacation if they haven't gone anywhere for a few years. Mm-hmm. And they do this maybe not to Hawaii, but to other destinations. So it is an enormous market. People have 4 to 5 weeks on an average paid vacation. My sister, when she works in the school system, she was off more than 2 months a year, and she was complaining she had to work so hard. And so people have the money, and they have the time to travel. And now multiply Germany by all the EU countries, and you see what number games we're looking at. Look at the investment Hawaii Tourism Europe is doing. It's $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely nothing. I suggested actually to Hawaii Tourism Authority a year and a half or 2 years ago, and they actually liked the idea, but then they didn't like us being involved. They actually asked me if they can do it without mentioning my name. To actually, instead of, if there's no money to open tourism offices around the world, and obviously there isn't any money, mm-hmm. why not do the same thing we have been doing successfully at eTurbo News? We built a team of global ambassadors. eTurbo News has ambassadors in 156 countries right now. These are people we don't pay. They just love to be affiliated with our association, with our publication, I mean. Mm-hmm. They go to events. They sometimes go to trade shows. They identify potential clients for us. And when I sent this survey out for Hawaii, we had more than 1,300 responses from people who wanted to become an ambassador for Hawaii. Many of them in India, many of them in Europe. And no one asked for any money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to put this network in place and do a phone banking type of promotion, I know, for instance, from our publication, we cover hundreds of thousands of travel agents everywhere in the world. We have been able to identify those that are interested in Hawaii. It is very easy, even in a 24-hour society, and with phone costs for 1 cent a minute to call India, or even free on a flat rate, or Singapore or Europe. I can talk 24 hours a day and call anyone in Europe for $9.99 a month. Mm-hmm. It's not a big cost factor to get someone on the phone. Most people speak English, or just concentrate on the English-speaking world first, and actually introduce themselves as a representative for Hawaii and organize this. Get the ambassadors together in that country, contact Travel Trade directly, help them listen to their challenges, and then try to resolve the challenges, how they can sell our destination. Listen to them when it comes to challenges after people travel to Hawaii, like the Indian vegetarian food, mm-hmm. and to built or to put together what I call task groups here locally in Hawaii, what could be made up out of volunteers and professionals to help develop these markets. That's a lot less expensive than paying a PR agency $100,000 a year, and they can do absolutely nothing for it. Avia reps in Europe spent more than $12,000 just sending the girl over here to Hawaii once a year to report what they've been doing for the additional $88,000 they have. And for this money, I know my publication, we also have a German language publication, we receive 3 or 4 press releases in Europe, and that's all they do.
And this is not the same girl that was sitting around at the booth talking about a personal love affair.
Well, I don't know. It wasn't the same one, but she was from the same company.
Oh, man. So we're getting our money for love story along with it. What is the budget for our state tourism authority? Do you have any idea or know the amount?
I have some numbers here, but I don't really have the numbers
you,
ready to available. But I know there has been several million spent in a recent blitz in on the West Coast. If I compare just with $100,000 a year spent on Europe, there's really no relation to what it is.
How does one? How do the authorities? The state authority pick a mainstream destination, or Japan. What is the criteria? What attracts them? Why do they go there and target this community? Clearly, you're saying China has less than Germany as far as benefits. Now, what visitation What do they use?
Well, of course, I cannot answer this. I can speculate. But, of course, with our location here in Hawaii and with the number of Chinese Americans living here in Hawaii, Japanese Americans, we're more in geographical boundaries. We're geographically closer to Japan, definitely, than we are to Europe. Mm-hmm. We're geographically closer to China than we are to Europe. However, it takes almost more time to travel here from China because of missing direct air links.
Mm-hmm.
There are more cultural ties between Hawaii and Asia than there are with Hawaii and Europe or Hawaii and India. And I think these are the markets I would assume HTA would be looking at first. These are traditional markets that generate numbers. I leave China out of it, but Japan, the U.S. West Coast, obviously, is a domestic destination. Canada is close. So these are definitely markets they need to. They always will be our target markets when it comes to spending most of our advertising dollars. But especially in these times, I think you should not underestimate the potential other destinations do, and maybe learn also from other countries or from other regions how they invest in tourism. Like the Seychelles is a good example. I can tell you our ambassador system. What is the reason I keep mentioning the Seychelles? Because I have some inside information on it. The person who's now the Minister of Tourism and in charge for the Seychelles has been our eToba News ambassador for many years before he became involved in tourism promotion to that country.
Mm-hmm.
And he started an ambassador network for the Seychelles. He asked me before he did this and said, look, I got this idea from you for the eToba News. I love the idea of having ambassadors. I like to do something for our tourism board. Would you be offended if I try this? And I said, no, absolutely not. And they have, if you just Google Seychelles tourism ambassadors, they have put a network together. They have increased their air capacity, I think, fivefold after they started this program. They even have an ambassador in New York. They're giving out awards to journalists, to send ambassadors to various functions, and it really has worked for them quite well.
Okay, this is the Carol Cox Show, and my guest today is Jürgen Thomas Steinmetz, and he is with the eTurbo News and also the Hawaii Tourism Association. And to make it clear, he's not affiliated with the Hawaii Tourism Authority, not the same. And you can pick this broadcast up at carolcox.com later, or you can also, on occasion, the eturbonews.com.
Yeah, you can or you can easily go to etn.travel, what is even easier. There is a .travel, it's not a .net.
Okay.
etn.travel, you can easily find us.
And I rely on quite a bit of updates on incidences around the nation, around the world, actually, on your website there, if there's an issue of a plane crashing or whatever. I enjoy reading that and being able to find out almost up to the minute what is going on.
And that's mostly because of our team of ambassadors.
And that exchange of information, and they're able to put it right there. I was just looking at that one issue where the Boeing Airlines had the engine up immediately. I'm able to, wow, look at this. This is really quick. But do we have such a website with the Hawaii Tourism Authority?
Not really. Actually, what we've been doing from ETN, we have been offering our network complementary to Hawaii. And we've been doing this for many years. We don't really have advertisers in Hawaii. We don't go after our local market.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the reason also many times why, specifically with Hawaii Tourism Association, I can say what I'm saying. Many people may not like me within the administration. And actually, they have openly said they don't want to deal with me when it comes to tourism issues. I don't have a financial problem with this because my income doesn't come from Hawaii. But what we have been doing from eToba News, we have been opening our media release distribution, what is under 4mediatorelease.net. It goes to 17,000 journalists, complimentary. Whenever there's a release, we quietly post it. We make our money on other tourism boards. With the same eToba News, actually, we have a link on our newsletter, news from the home front from Hawaii, what specifically just deals with news. We put up, it's not that much, but we put up what relates to Hawaii. For us, I see it more as good neighborhood and giving back to the community, mm-hmm. and that's what we have been doing.
Yeah, I when I had your email that you sent me way back, and I was looking at this, the no one from HTA attended high level events and consequently had no say in these list of things you had. What was that event? And
well, this was the World Travel Market mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier in
right.
London.
Mm-hmm.
Now. With eTurbo News, luckily we have access to a lot of different events. It's one, of course, from the news perspective, but I'm also personally on a lot of committee. For instance, one of the best ticket items is the CNN dinner, when we have a partnership with CNN International, for instance. And you see heads of states there, ministers of tourism, and so forth. Last year, I tried to get Hawaii, who actually had a representative in London, said, look, I get your ticket for this. Why don't you come and network? There was absolutely no interest. And the reason there was no interest was because of me. It wasn't that Hawaii thought, oh, wow, that's a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the World Travel and Tourism Council. We have one member in Hawaii who's been very active for years, but it's only one member only. That's Richard Kelly from Outrigger, who's has been an example of how you know, someone can spread the aloha around the world. He has been excellent, and I have seen him at events all over the world. So he's a big example, and a big exception, and he understands how important it is to show face and to network.
The authority here is composed of many people in the industry, correct? So why would they object so vehemently?
Well, let me give you...
I mean, you would think they don't have to accept everything that you propose, but why this extreme relationship of...
I'm not sure, because when I started, it came out the wrong way that we're just there to criticize. In fact, I didn't have any financial gain to criticize. We were just concerned. We lived here in Hawaii. I mean, I'm here for 20-some years, and you wanted to help. We were not after money,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what they don't understand, that someone is maybe out here trying to help without trying to collect money. Now, I'll give you a bad example. I'm not trying to put someone down, but it just...
But as long as it's factual and true.
It's definitely factual
and they
true.
Have to digest it, put them down, or whatever you describe.
Right. Two years ago, I had the opportunity to exhibit under the name of Hawaii Tourism Association in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
It started 2 years ago. We actually did it this year. But the last year, we had the same opportunity. The reason, the way we did this, eTurbo News has stands at 80-some trade shows around the world. We don't have the manpower and the budget to go to every single event where we get a complimentary stand. So many of these trade shows, I ask, okay, could we, since we started Hawaii Tourism Association, could we exhibit under Hawaii Tourism Association? I give you a little bit more advertising to promote your event. And many of them said yes. One of them was a major outbound trade show, travel show in Moscow. Since we don't have a staff of people that could pick up the phone and call every single business here in Hawaii and ask them if they wanted to participate, I asked the Hawaii Tourism Authority and Hawaii Visitors and Convention Bureau if they could please help us to communicate this opportunity to the industry here in Hawaii, that they could participate in Moscow either in person or in sending their brochures. There was no cost involved to do this, but I didn't have the manpower to get someone on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talk to, and I'm not going to mention the island, I can give you the information privately, but when I went to one of the island chapters, the lady who was in charge of this island chapter said, I know you have very excellent ideas sometimes, but I cannot support you. And I said, why couldn't you support me? I mean, I'm not asking for any money. I said, well, there are two reasons. Last week, you helped to get an article into a Chinese language newspaper. What we did, together
mm-hmm.
with the Export Council and our embassy in China, this was widely publicized all over China. I said, when you did this, I know you meant well, but now we get so many phone calls from China in Chinese and so many emails in Chinese, and the hotels are complaining and the tour operators are complaining they cannot respond to all of this because they don't have that many Chinese speaking people coming to our island. The second reason is we don't really want any foreign, she said this, foreign speaking tourists to our island because they cannot read the signs on the beach and they might drown because there's so many accidents happening, and I don't want to take the responsibility in having Russians or anyone else here. So I asked her, if that was the case, what about the Japanese? And I said, I'm honest with you, I think Japanese, we have a lot of the signs now in Japanese, but I would more concentrate on the English-speaking world. So when you get these type of responses, then of course you ask,
and this is a state official, Hawaii state official.
Yes.
Making these statements to you.
Not only a state official, she was the person who was in charge of that island chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the buck stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I have verified that this very same statement was made at board meetings. Obviously, I cannot personally attend, so
right.
From people who are actually working with my association now, and said this is, she's well known for saying this. And we have mentioned this and tried to talk sense for many years, but that's how she feels. And that's fine. She has a right to feel like this, but she shouldn't have a job promoting
with such a negative or narrow-minded approach.
And that's kind of one of the reasons. I can tell you about other statements that have been brought to my attention. Is that Hawaii Tourism Authority stated to people who have a lot of influence in tourism that as long as my name is involved in it, even though the idea is excellent, they don't feel like they want to get involved in it. Now, I don't know why this is. I know when Mike McCartney was appointed, went to the hearing at the Senate, and Senator Nishihara actually repeatedly asked, so I just wanted to verify the Hawaii Tourism Authority is the one in charge promoting tourism, and that was actually meant to say that my association, Hawaii Tourism Association, is not appointed, and we aren't, we never claimed we would be, to promote tourism. And I don't know if it was a coincidence, but when the Lemon Law was passed, this is a law recently passed here from by the House, that meetings can now be in secret when it comes to budget and other issues in tourism. I'm not sure if this wasn't passed so we wouldn't listen to what they had to say and couldn't mm-hmm. criticize it. So there is a lot of protectionism. There is, I think they're the same people many times are rotated through various administrations, mm-hmm. various jobs within the industry. Most people are, of course, their livelihood depend on tourism income. They don't want to speak up even if they feel something is wrong because they get ousted. I was never in that position because my money didn't come from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly this is the reason, but I can tell you the intentions are good and they're always good, and we hope with a new administration now this can all change. I had mentioned this during the election for Governor-elect Abercrombie, and he personally told me that he's looking at changes within the tourism administration and the way tourism is promoted. So I'm hopeful that will change. We had supported actually Neil Abercrombie in his campaign,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm hoping these opportunities we've been. I'm strongly believe are would be good for Hawaii, that at least someone would be looking at it soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Hawaii Tourism Authority, I don't know if it really provides access. I know when I attempt to contact them for anything, they don't respond.
No.
Period. And I don't know what other state agency or authority that has that capacity or the ability to just flat out ignore the public. And I don't know who give them that, who encouraged them, but hopefully with this new administration, I don't know, I don't want to sit here and to suggest that it's going to, this new administration is right. going to wave the magic wand and do it, because I noticed there's a lot of recruitment of the old guard. So, you know, I with a little caution, I'll sit back and watch. But what do you see in the future, other than the administration, do you think there's, are they making improvements, the authorities?
I haven't seen it today. I'm As I said, I mean, we have to see. I know there's going to be a new administration. I'm also worried about recruiting the same people over and over again. Mm-hmm. I share this with you. So I don't have a crystal ball. But I think if you look at the state of our economy and you look how important tourism is, on an average, globally, if you look at statistics from the UNWTO, the United Nations World Tourism Organization, between 11 and 13% of the world's population is directly or indirectly employed by tourism. If you look at a destination of Hawaii, I don't have the numbers here, so I can only guess, but I think probably here 50 or 60% or even more are employed directly or indirectly through tourism. These are not the tour guides. These are not the hoteliers. Mm-hmm. These are maybe restaurants. These are cab drivers. These are people who, some directly or indirectly, phone operators, indirectly cater somehow to the tourism industry, shop owners. It is... The tourism industry is absolutely essential. I have to say I was a little bit disappointed during the campaign, and that's on both sides, mm-hmm. that tourism was literally not mentioned within the campaign. It didn't exist. Actually, I called both candidates.
But it's a critical part of our economy.
Absolutely. I made an effort, called both parties numerous times and asked about tourism issues, and there's really... There was no interest in it, and there was, for the most part, no response. And I don't know why this is, when the state is depending on tourism, and most of our jobs are depending on tourism. And it's such an important issue, if you see the state of our economy, that this is improved, and it's improved immediately. And we need to change directions when it comes to how we promote the state as a tourism destination. It's not only promoting it, it's also the infrastructure here mm-hmm. in Hawaii, what is missing. If we really cater to a global audience, for example, the Indians, food is very important. Homegrown food. Indians are not that adventurous. They don't not going to come out here and eat hamburger and hot dogs. Mm-hmm. They come out here because they're looking for vegetarian Indian restaurants. So there are business opportunities. They just have to be communicated and they have to be coordinated by an organization like HTA that can actually guide and open up and communicate these type of opportunities for our state. So this mm-hmm. all goes in harmony. One of the comments this morning, why the Chinese are not jumping on Hawaii, was made by Johnson Choi, who is actually the head of the Chinese Hawaii Chamber of Commerce, and he sent me an email at 4:51 this morning. So the guy is really thinking and working. And this was in response to an article this morning in the Honolulu Star Advertisers about the Chinese market. But he says visa is not an issue as Chinese are traveling to Las Vegas, New York, San Francisco, and other major U.S. destinations. 90% of the people in China applying for U.S. visas are getting these visas. And it says, do not fall into the trap the Hawaii government wants to use as their excuse for failure. Blame it to the Fed. That's not the reason, he says. If the Chinese come to Hawaii, they like Hawaii golf courses. One-third the cost of what they would pay for playing golf in China. And they want plenty to choose from, and they don't want to drive distances. They love it. Why Chinese only spend a few days in Hawaii is not that important. One of the reasons, though, is he feels that after 10 p.m., there are only some overpriced Korean karaoke and bars where Chinese would be able to go, and he feels for Chinese fun at a vacation is most important. They work all their day, they work long hours.
Mm-hmm. So this is the problem plaguing. It's you got to cater to them, and if they're from India, food and other things, and that makes sense. When I travel, I want to have some familiar something. That's what attracts me, as I'm adventurous, but still with some containment. But again, you see any light at the end of the tunnel for our? Did you see anything happening before the new administration come in?
When it comes to international markets, I don't yet see light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm optimistic, again, with the new administration that might change.
Okay.
When it comes to domestic marketing, I think we saw a lot of lights at the end of the tunnel. Arrival numbers have improved. Hotels' occupancy is a lot better than it was a few months ago. So there is some light. And
we got a caller, real shortly, caller Kaylee. You got a question, comment?
Yes, yes. I heard the comment that there was no word about tourism in the last campaign, the recent campaign. And I just wanted to assert an idea that perhaps the reason it wasn't talked about so much is because the focus is on construction. And it seems that construction is about building up in areas that are open. And tourism, I think, is about keeping open spaces open. So I think that a different purpose may be the reason why there wasn't any talk about tourism as a leading industry for Hawaii, because you got the two major industries competing over what needs to be done in terms of land use. One says build, 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 and I think tourism says leave it virgin, leave it open, leave it wild. I want to hear a comment. Thank you.
I absolutely agree with you. We have to be cautious when it comes to environmental issues here in Hawaii. Hawaii is beautiful because we have open spaces, we have wonderful beaches, but there is also, when it comes to construction, a lot of room for improvement. If you look at, for instance, in Waikiki at corner on between Kohio and Kalakau, where Nike's was built, there has been a big fence around this entire property for now 17 and 18 years. So construction that could have benefited or was at one time planned didn't happen. In the past, this entire block was a block of entertainment. I know a lot of the, for instance, gay venues were in this area. There was Hula's, there was Hamburger Mary's, there was Hotel Honolulu, and they had a lot of street festivals. At that time, when you went to Chaos restaurants on a Saturday night, you had to stand in line for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no line. So there are many issues, but I believe that the environmental issue and keeping Hawaii beautiful is definitely important. There's a lot of things that can be improved, but includes construction.
Okay. Well, Jorgen, thank you for coming and joining us here. And again, this will be on podcast at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. If you want to hang around for another minute, that's 5-10 minutes in the next hour, be my guest and we'll finish up. So, again, thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 5 minutes.
I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll tell myself. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll tell myself, do you hear me? I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll tell myself, I don't give me generation, give me two communication. I don't give me sorrow. I want people's opportunity to live tomorrow. Give me schools and give me better books. Read about myself and gain my true looks. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll tell myself, do you hear me now? Nah, nah. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door. I'll tell myself. Some of us try as hard as we can. We don't want no sympathy. We just wanna be a man.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on K108.
for 12 years, during which time he was a waste to himself and a burden to others. After trying numerous drug rehab programs, I finally found Narcanon. By that time, he was at the end of his rope. Thanks to Narcanon, he regained his health and became himself again. And most importantly, he became drug...
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nahn. WikiLeaks is making public classified State Department documents which include explicit details of diplomatic discussions. Those documents appear in several newspapers and several news organizations. Condemnation and criticism of the leaks have come from the White House and from the Pentagon. Lawrence Korb of the Center for American Progress in Washington explains...
It makes it much more difficult for the United States to protect its interests in the international system if the leaders in Washington can't get access to very honest advice.
And Korb says such revelations can impede the diplomatic process.
It also undermines our ability to deal with these countries if, in fact, they have an impression that people working for the United States don't think very much of them.
Revealed are classified State Department cables and directives going back to 2008 and appear to blur the traditional boundaries between statesmen and spies. Black Friday was green and good for retailers. More shoppers visited stores and websites the day after Thanksgiving and over the weekend. Ellen Davis of the National Retail Federation says they also spent more.
The average person this year spent about $365 over Black Friday weekend, and that's up from $343 last year. So that's about a 6% increase.
Estimated total spending, $45 billion this weekend, with shoppers more in a mood to buy discretionary items this year. The number of people who bought jewelry was up almost 12% this year over last. North Korea is condemning the U.S.-South Korean war games as a, quote, pretext for aggression. China is calling for an emergency meeting of regional powers involved in nuclear disarmament talks, including North Korea.
I'm Tom Foti. This is one issue on which the administration has the backing of the number two Republican in the Senate, John Kyle, who told NBC's Meet the Press,
what we ought to do is not backing down in terms of having very legitimate exercises with the South Korean government, which we gave plenty of advance notice of.
On CNN's State of the Union, Kyle's fellow Arizona Republican, John McCain, was looking to North Korea's main ally to do more than it has been doing to things.
It cannot be in China's long-term interest to see a renewed conflict on the Korean Peninsula.
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Fire today damaged a section of Islamic Center in Corvallis, Oregon, where Portland bomb plot suspect Mohammed Osman Mohammed occasionally worshipped. Investigator Carl Pozzateri says damage was limited to some back offices.
The fire was brought under control fairly quickly, within about 10 minutes, and the damage was limited to one room of the mosque, and we do have evidence that indicates that this fire was intentionally set.
Carla Pusateri will not say what led investigators to that conclusion. Mohammed reportedly attended the mosque once or twice a month. European officials are expected to sign off on a $115 billion rescue for Ireland, a bailout designed to help Dublin cover bank debts and bridge a monster loan deficit. This is CBS News.
Can make the holidays even happier? How about the jingle jangle of a new set of keys from Honda? For a limited time during Happy Honda Days, well-qualified buyers can get the gift of 0.9% APR on select new Accord and Civic models. Come in today or go to shophonda.com to build and price your ultimate holiday gift now during Happy Honda Days.
See dealer for financing details.
This weekend, the Home Depot has a special buy. $249 for a Maytag Supercapacity Top Load Washer or Dryer. Save $300 on the pair and tackle everything from upcoming cranberry stains to incoming guests. We're lowering the cost of increasing your holiday capacity with a Maytag Supercapacity Washer or Dryer for $249 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. Limit one pair per customer. See store for details.
Those forever stamps are getting a facelift and more.
Mailers have been asking for a while for forever stamps and rolls. Now they're getting them. And they're also getting new designs for these stamps. Each roll will have two. One the American flag, the other the Statue of Liberty. These stamps will be sold at the current first class letter rate. Currently it's 44 cents. But will pay the letter rate no matter how high it goes. Lloyd DeVries, CBS News.
Election Day in Haiti focuses on the race for president with a field of 19 candidates. President René Préval cannot run for another term. 96 candidates are competing for 11 Senate seats. More than 800 candidates running for seats in the 99-seat lower house. Some candidates in Haiti already crying fraud. Rio de Janeiro police, backed with armored vehicles and helicopters, invaded a shantytown complex long held by drug gangs, quickly gaining the upper hand earlier today. I'm Gabby Nunn, CBS News.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Ready?
Welcome back to the second half of the Carol Cox Show. That's CARROLLCOX.com. 524-1080 is the number if you wish to call in. I was speaking with Jurgen Thomas Steinmetz of the Hawaii Tourism Association and the eTurboNews.travel. And we're going to just button up a little bit here, and then we'll be moving into other subjects. But Thomas, the caller called in and asked the question. Did you have any more you wanted to Did we interfere with you? We had to move to the commercial.
Well, in essence, I said I agree with the caller. There are other priorities in the state of Hawaii besides tourism, absolutely. But I believe many of them are linked through tourism. So I strongly believe tourism should be a major discussion point no matter what issues there are in Hawaii, because it's so closely linked to the industry, and it's such an important industry. It's the most important industry for our state.
Let me ask you this. Even though we have a big tourism business here, I meet a lot of people that have trained and educated in tourism and all of that, but they can't find a job. Does your organization or ETN, are you looking for people, or can people bring their own ideas and get involved and possibly see making a living at it or anything? Anything?
Well, first of all, the Hawaii Tourism Association, we started, we don't have any public funding. Even though we have a member program, we really haven't charged any members. Even though we have more than 500 members, I didn't feel it's right to actually charge them, so we haven't collected any money. However, there's a business model behind this, and we do need not only volunteers, I think we also need professionals to make this work in the long end. We have been unfortunately concentrating so much with the little time I had for this association to fight and get our standing within the industry and people to see value. One of the things we're putting together is various task groups. And one of the task groups, for instance, would be to look after the European market. Specifically, we were working with the Russian market for Hawaii. In the case of the Russian market, so far, seven people have responded that we wanted to be part of this task group and see how we can grow this. Among people in this task groups are two operators. They make their living in possibly receiving Russian visitors to Hawaii. They have a selfish interest to maybe be part of it and help us to develop this. Now, others, as we grow, and people see the value, and there's revenue to be made for tour operators, they could be very well also positioned. We could possibly generate positions for people to actually help us grow this association. One of the things I mentioned earlier is I'm convinced we can start developing markets like, for instance, Singapore in the English-speaking world, possibly also Europe, non-English-speaking countries. The industry speaks English everywhere in the world. In phone banking, or in generating relationships with the travel industry in those countries by telephone. These are also paid opportunities. We don't have the money to pay at this time, but we're hoping if our organization could become more accepted, that we will one day maybe have the funding either through membership sales or maybe even public funding to help facilitate these things. At this point, we're all volunteers, but we are looking for more volunteers that can sit down with us and see what we can do for various markets. These are not immediately paid positions, but we're hoping to be able to generate a lot of paid positions in the future.
How does one contact you, and where do they go to look at your information again?
Well, our website is HawaiiTourismAssociation.com. People can email, can send an email to me. My email address is thomas@hawaiitourismassociation.com, or simply to aloha@hawaiitourismassociation.com. You can also call me. Our phone number is 566-9900. And we would, at this time, I think we would love to form a number of different task groups concentrating on various opportunities. One would be to develop the European market, one would be for the Indian market, and others would be communication with the industry here in Hawaii. We desperately need people that can help us communicating our views to industry stakeholders here in Hawaii. We really have been sabotaged in a lot of ways when we try to get our message across. We have been viewed as an enemy. We're not an enemy. The message we want to get out, we're here to cooperate and work with anyone that want to work with us. We feel specifically industry stakeholders within the medium and small industry within the travel industry are underrepresented here in Hawaii in a lot of ways. And we'd be happy to work with anyone, try to give them a voice. We have a global network with through eTurbo News. What doesn't cost us anything, what is no one else in the state has. We can, with the push of a button, reach literally every travel professional in the world. We just need people who can help us to coordinate these things, put us together, because from my end and all the other volunteers that give hours of their time to do this, we all have day jobs, and we all have to concentrate on our day business as well to generate money for us. So this is a hobby at this time, but with an enormous business opportunity.
Yeah, well, your information, we're actually going to exchange links, but I think it's beneficial to our local people here that would travel abroad and go places, because you do give information on other sites. So that is good, and we'll be doing that. So,
yeah, we have opportunities for many trade shows around the world where Hawaii could participate. Four of them are upcoming in India in February. There's a workshop I will be speaking at in Poland at the Polish Outbound Travel Market. All of these are opportunities for anyone else to participate. It's not me who can do all these things. Mm-hmm. We need people who can actually go on our behalf and build this and help to build this global network. I would love for someone to pick up on these more than 1,000 people that wanted to sign up to become an ambassador for Hawaii, to take this under their umbrella and actually develop this system. It's excellent. I just don't have the time to do it. But I have the network to my exposure to get this message out, and I think from the communication part to make it a success outside Hawaii.
Yeah. Good morning, Ed. You got a question or comment for?
Yeah, I've been listening to you, guests. I want to know what is your reason for wanting to bring more tourists to Hawaii? We already have state agencies, maybe a city agency, whose primary mission is to bring tourists to Hawaii. Why are you doing this on your own, and why do you want more tourists? What's your reason?
Well, I don't necessarily want more tourists, but I want more tourists from a diversified market. Take the reason as a hobby at this point. My business is global communication through my publication. And as I said, we're everywhere in the world, and I see it more like giving back to the community. I don't have a selfish reason to do this. We're not competing with HTA, HVCB, or anyone else here in Hawaii. We're here to help, and we're trying to be a responsible citizen, and that's basically the reason for this. See it more as a hobby at this point.
Sure, it's just a hobby, and with no particular goal in mind. Actually, HTA feels you are competing with them, and getting involved with their business, and maybe their goals may not be the same as yours, or their means of attack against tourists may be not the same. So they probably feel you're an interloper. So that's why that's why I ask, what is your reason? If there's no monetary gain, what is it? Secondly, if you need some ambassadors, go to some of these foreign countries, you're paying away, I'll be happy to. Happy to join you.
we would love for you to join us, and there is no financial gain at this time. Matter of fact, like most hobbies, they are expensive. This has been an extremely expensive hobby, and I think we could add to what HTA is doing in a lot of ways. We could definitely open to work with HTA and advise them in any fashion. We see whether they agree or not agree on everything we're doing. I cannot maneuver this. I just know we all live in a state that is dependent on the tourism industry, and we all live and breathe tourism here in Hawaii, and I just want to do my small part to help our community and our economy in giving back and sharing the experience we have developed over many years in being a global travel industry publication and going out there in the world and trying to spread the aloha my German way, I guess. But we're here to help.
So in other words, you like that magazine called Travel. they're not from here, but their particular interest is to generate interest for tourism all over the world.
My publication is where online. You find us at etn.travel. Each stands for eTurbo News. And we're a global travel industry publication. We publish every single day, and we publish issues relevant to a global audience of travel industry professionals. Not really Hawaii-related, even though, of course, we pick up on Hawaii issues. Through this...
Well, in other words, but you're not sanctioned by the state in any way.
No. The state, we have 32 tourism boards. They're our clients. That's how we make our living, in actually helping their news to go out to the world. Hawaii is not one of our clients, and we're not after Hawaii business.
Okay.
So Hawaii is just giving back to the community.
Yeah, you just said a phrase, make our living. So in other words, there's money involved.
There is, of course, my publication is a for-profit entity, and we live on advertising. We live on we do think tanks all over the world. We have done with UNWTO in India and Nigeria, all over the world, where we actually advise local tourism boards on what they can do better or different, or help them to generate blue plans. So this is how we make our money. And when it comes to Hawaii, we have not been looking at business from Hawaii. We have not generated business from Hawaii. We're giving back to Hawaii.
So if I could...
Okay, this is my question, what the goals were, whether money is involved. Obviously, there is money involved. Mm. But we do have a state tourism authority, and obviously, don't like the idea that some outsiders coming in and trying to compete or... compete with them. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, they help paint a vivid picture. I guess it's the suggestion is that possibly you're on one aisle on one side and the HTA is on the other, and they're tugging at this tourist saying, come here, go this way. It's not like that.
No, absolutely not.
So you're not tugging. You're not in a tug of war to have...
Yeah.
To funnel or channel that tourist to your destination. It's none of that. And we know that historically the HTA has some problems. These are my own views, and these are my own based on information that I've gotten and attempts to communicate with the HTA, the state version of it. And there's a lot to be desired there in that openness and transparency and the budget, and I question that, and the $80 million. So, yes, we do have a state authority, but there is the problem, a state authority. How is it being managed? You know, where is the money being funneled? Which state senators are getting favors? Who's getting hired? I mean, when Mike McCartney shows up in that position, then you wonder, he was just over doing insurance at one time or something, and now he's doing this. And, you know, so it is worth asking the question. Well, and even if you were seeking to make money, the question is, can you be more efficient?
Yeah, I mean, we're all paying taxes. It's
right.
Our money.
Right.
It's not someone's money. It's not HTA's money to do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. All citizens should be able to ask questions, and that's
right.
How we see it. So when we criticize something or praise something, then we're concerned citizens. We're,
right.
We don't have an association or organization that has any money to do anything.
Yeah.
We're just here to help.
And in this climate here, this... In the state atmosphere of things, the way things are done, is that if you don't come on the Carol Cox Show or come publicly and avail yourself as the state people refuse to, then when we do ask questions, we do end up being asked, well, why are you interested? Well, I'm interested because they won't tell me, and it is a state agency, and as you say, it is something funded by taxpayers' money. So that's why we have a right to ask, and obviously the questions are not there. And whatever your motivation is, whether it's financial or you wish to take over the world, it's still left up to you. Will still have to appeal to the tourists to get them here.
I mean, I can say when it comes to the reason, I think I'm not after money at this point. I'm more after the fun and doing something productive. Is for many years, my publication has tried to convince HVCB to use our network compared to a competitor's network out on the East Coast to circulate their information to travel agents. And we thought we had a larger database. We're locally based in Hawaii, and we had better rates. So they should advertise and do these things with us. That hasn't worked. But every time in the past when I criticize something, I can tell you like six, seven years ago when Tony Vercelli was in charge of HVCB, we had an online discussion forum, what was called Hawaii Tourist Network.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the Yahoo group at the time, and we had several, I think 16,000 travel agents asking questions about Hawaii, and we allowed no commercial, no advertising,
mm-hmm.
And we had industry professionals answering. One of the people that responded frequently was Starwood, was actually Marsha Wienert when she was with the Maui Tourism Board, and it was quite useful. And now when this publication took a lot more of my time, this was kind of a volunteer thing we did at that time, like 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I asked HVCB, could you become a sponsor? We didn't want an outside advertiser, but we said, okay, if the state becomes a sponsor, $500 a month, we asked we can have an intern doing this and continuing this because I didn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the response we got at that time, oh, no, we don't believe in internet. That's not going to work, and we're not interested. So I posted that comment. And when after I posted that comment, the first time ever, I had Tony on the phone. He never talked to me before.
Mm-hmm.
An hour and a half later, I said, please, I have feathers flying everywhere here. Can you please clarify this? I made a mistake. I should have not sent this comment, but you should have not posted it either. Because he actually was bombarded by phone calls, and agents on our forum posted comments that they actually use our information because it's not in any way commercial, not biased. They have folders on their email clients just to put everything aside we ever post, and they love this idea. How could the state agency say that? That was way before Hawaii Tourism Association. So then what happened? 2 months later, I finally had a meeting at HVCB. They threw a couple thousand dollars of advertising at ETN, and I thought, okay, that was the end of it. And that's the only thing we ever got out commercially. So I gave up on that idea to get Hawaii as a client. So at this point, we're here to share our experience, and we have... And in my case, travel and tourism industry is almost a 30-year experience of my life. So we know the industry. I think we understand the industry.
Well, we're not going to question your motive and the way things work out. If it's bad motives, then you'll be on the Carol Cox Show and we'll be throwing rocks at you. You know, but until then, you the question, it's just healthy to be able, if you're willing to come on air and tell us what you're doing and tell us some of the other problems, it gives us a better insight because I'm ignorant to the whole issue. And just, for example, the political advantage that a governor would have with the HTA, for example, there's a lot of money there. So now that Abercrombie is in, Lingle was in, did she benefit as a governor in appointing people? And we don't know. And so we just don't want it to be abused. And we know that there were some problems in the past with HTA and the Hawaii Tourism Authority. I carefully, the HTA.
We go HITA.
You're the HITA. HITA. Okay. But anyway, thank you for joining me. Any closing remarks you want to share with us? And
yeah, I thank you very much for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it, and I hope anyone who wanted to get involved with us, give me a call. My number again is 566-9900, or send me an email, thomas@hawaiitourismassociation.com. We would love for more people to get involved.
Okay. Well, keep us posted, and we'll post your link there on carolcox.com, and hopefully people benefit. And as I say, I find it useful, and in my travels just recently, I was able to pull it up and just, you know, see what's going on. And then many links, that's what's really nice about it.
Yeah, and we definitely, we're going to put it on our website too, this interview, okay. And anything you do in regards to tourism, we'd be happy to share with you.
All righty, well, just give us a shout out there with the KWAI 1080. When they come to town, tell them to tune in here. Here's a good local talk. So, all righty.
Get a better reception on the North Shore. I live in Popokea, and it's very difficult to listen to 1080 for some reason.
Well, we're going to be able to stream it live over the internet here shortly. We'll be
perfect.
Able to do it. Well, thank you, Jorgen. And alrighty, aloha. All right. Enjoy that. If you have any questions or follow-up, send us an email, and we'll get it to Jorgen, and we'll get all of that. And
And like many of you, have great questions, and the concern is, well, how much did you get paid? Well, I would say that's a good question, and it's a fair question, but then where it really matters, don't just ask how much are they getting paid. Ask them what are they doing with your money. So then those types of questions should go directly to the HTA and Governor elect Abercrombie, and that way we'll know exactly, because there's always room for improvement. No matter how perfect we pass ourselves off, there's always improvement to be had. But anyway, we over many months, a couple years now, we've talked about government and people in government, and I want to we were going to discuss this subject anyway, and I've talked about it before. You know that out in District 1 in Ryan I site on the Leeward Coast, there is the position of the city council. Todd Oppel vacated that position to go work for Disneyland whatever the company is called. So there's going to be an army of people. There is an army, or there are armies, I should say, of people trying for his position now. Some were just, you take Tom Berg, he tried to get in as state representative, but then he failed that, and the public sent him a message telling him, go away, we don't want you. And, well, he's back, and he wants to become your city councilman out there in the district, which is, this is a democracy, and we'll accept that. And then you have the other folks out there. Questions, do they live in the area, in the district? But one of the key people that merits watching is Miss Patty Teruya. And as you know, we've talked about Patty Teruya and some of her involvement in the Hanneman administration and her participation and some things that I will define or have said they are questionable and speak to the ethics, her ethics, or lack thereof, or whatever. And I know this is the Christmas spirit and the Christmas season, and we should be all forgiving. But I draw a line. I'm able to love you dearly come Christmas time and peace, joy, and happiness. But when you cross the line and you go into government, and you abandon the peace, love, and happiness and all of those good things, it's time to talk about you. And in this case, now, I filed an ethics complaint against Ms. Teruya. And as you know, as I've described the Ethics Commission here, both the state and the city, I think that is the most corrupt entities in the state government, because they are responsible and held accountable, or hold accountable all other entities. But if they are corrupt, the state elections committees, for example, who washed that complaint with Muthi Hanneman, the fundraiser on the mainland, they have no ethics, and they should be replaced, however, voted out or asked to step down immediately. The City Ethics Commission, Mr. Chuck Toto, good man, smiles with you, but failing. And he always come back to tell you, well, we don't have enough money. Well, if we gave you more money, we'd probably get more of the same, which is nothing but corruption. You allow people to stay in government, and they continue to do things, and we encourage them. So Ms. Teruya is now running for city council. Or was running, and I got a call last night, someone inquiring, well, was it anything that I had done on the Carol Cox Show that prompted her to withdraw? Well, I don't know if, in fact, she has withdrawn from the city council campaign or competition for that District 1, but I would be quite happy and think it would be the right thing to do when one's integrity and ethics is at question here. Now, I did file the ethics complaint with Mr. Chuck Toto, and we'll be seeking others, but Patty Teruya participated, and she worked as a special events coordinator, and she's on the neighborhood board out in Nanakuli, and a few other things. But most people, and I will tell you, It's shameful to receive the number of calls and the number of comments that I get, not just the things that I found personally, to describe this person as a bully, and that's not my definition. Senior citizens are sharing with me problems, stories that they've had, and I firsthand experienced this myself with Ms. Teruya. When Hanneman first came in, they had a private, quote, public meeting at the Kapolei. And Hanneman was there to talk about the benefits package, community benefits package, for that community, the Leeward Coast, because of the landfill. And there was this meeting, and Teruya and others of the squad, I will call them, was there, and she actually participated in blocking my camera, standing and walking in view of my camera to block. And the purpose of that was to conceal Hanneman's presence there, because it was supposed to be a public meeting and not announce that Hanneman would be participating. But anyway, leading from that, there are other issues with it. But more specifically here now, I shared with you over the months and a while back that she was an officer in the, or still is, I would guess, the last time I checked the records at the BCCA. She was an officer, secretary of the Waimanalo Construction Coalition. And, you know, the Waimanalo Construction Coalition received grants from the Leeward Coast Community Benefits Program. The Ms. Teruya, now she'll tell you she recused herself in the actual the grant process. And Ms. Teruya is an advisory committee person, advisory committee member on occasion for this program. So in other words, you as a party want to put in for a grant on the community program benefits package. You put together your packet for a grant proposal, and you submit it. And the advisory committee looks it over, and the advisory committee is this is where Ms. Teruya is part of. Well, her organization was successful in getting two grants that I know that we have documents that we ask for a FOIA, UIPA. And in there, she'll tell you, well, she recused herself in the actual approval or granting of the grant. But what she won't tell you is what Mr. Andrew Jamila, one of the other officers in the organization, informed me that she's the one who actually files the papers, put the profile together, put the grant package in the grant proposal, and submits it. And then if she, in fact, did stand by, I'm also told that Mr. Ernie Martin, who's now just been voted as a city councilman for the Haleiwa district area on that side, approached them and told them that you should put in for this grant, the Waimanalo Construction Coalition. Now, that's not a problem, some of you might say, but this is state city money given to a city employee whose organization is in receipt of this grant. And she'll say that she recused herself in the actual voting and approval of this grant. But who then spends the money, if she's an officer, who actually spends the money once it's granted to the organization? Well, and you know that if you were to receive grants or monies in a nonprofit organization, you shouldn't or can't use this information or this money for personal usage. Well, apparently Ms. Teruya didn't read the rules of that that little part. You see, I have in my hand here a copy of a check that Ms. Teruya wrote, and it's dated 6-9-2010, for the amount of $700. And the amount was spent was for rent, for her, to rent a personal cottage in the Waianae district, a Makaha area. So now, how she recused herself in giving the grant, and some of you might say, well, the money that she spent for the rent probably was not money from the grant. Well, the money from the grant is commingled with everything else that's in their bank account, and you just can't use money from a nonprofit to pay your personal rent. So she spent $700. Now, there were some inquiries as to whether or not this was true, and as foxy and as cagey as she is, she proceeded to tell those that were inquiring, no, I didn't spend that money. That wasn't for the purpose. Yes, I did write a check, but it wasn't for the purpose. It was for planning city matters and city functions. Well, I'm going to let you hear something here. Here's an email that Ms. Teruya wrote herself. And now, mind you, we're talking about abuse of monies from a nonprofit organization. But we'll also raise the question of, and I filed this complaint earlier, that she's also using her government email account to do personal business. So she writes, "Aloha sis, did you receive my email text this morning? How are you? Did you get to speak to Mr. This morning or last night? I hope that I do not sound so pushy, but I really need to know, as I am at home today packing. My boyfriend will not be living here with me, but will be visiting and would like to help you around the house. This is temporary for maybe about June, July, August, hopefully September. I should get my house done and ready, so please let me know so arrangements can be done. By the way, do you think that I can stop by the house on Thursday in the morning? I also have the check for you for $700. Will be monthly." Now, this is for rent of a, for her personal stake. And she's using, and she's a recipient. Her organization is a recipient of city funds from the Leeward benefit package. And that's just one now of the practices that we're able to document with Ms. Teruya. And unfortunately, now we'll go back a bit. When Mr. Carlisle won, we saw her in the background. She was out campaigning, and there were people even reporting that she was campaigning with on city time for Carlisle. Now, others have ridden, other people, not just Carol Cox Show, anyone has ridden Mayor Carlisle. They'd also contacted Mayor Mufi Hanneman, then Mayor Mufi Hanneman, to inform him of this behavior. And nothing happened. Well, they've ridden Mr. Carlisle. And apparently what happens is that if you raise these issues about Ms. Teruya to any authority, it either falls on deaf ears or it encourages her, because this behavior came on the heels of me filing an ethics complaint and raising issues and talking publicly about it. So she's not encouraged or discouraged from doing what she do by her supervisors or the mayors or whomever, or the ethics commission. Now, other organizations have filed ethics complaints against Ms. Teruya. And yet she still, as I today, still a city employee, and then was encouraged to go and file and compete for the city council position in that district. Now, this is in one instance, I have emails where she purports to help an organization resolve some of its land use issues and potential problems that they wanted to avoid and be legal and compliant with the law, the land use laws of the city. She represented that she was going to assist this organization. And in turn, what did in fact happen was just the opposite. per Mr. David Tenoy, she actually went and filed a complaint against the people that she was supposedly going to help. Now, that's just not an opinion, folks. I have the actual emails where it is stated, and the report is that she had come and reported against these people. And then in her capacity as the advisory committee for the benefit package, she assisted, and this is the reports and the allegations, and these are letters made to the mayor, the present mayor of Carlisle, that she assisted this organization and another in putting together a proposal for the grants in which she administers, or the advisory committee she participates in. So this entire process, starting with Mr. Ernie Martin, and I mean the people, you get what you vote for, but there should have been some oversight in this process, starting with the community benefit package or the community office. And it failed. And Ernie Martin was, in fact, I had made this request back in actually June 21 and of 2010, and he did, in fact, provide me the documents whom the organizations got money from this benefits package in 2007, 2008, 2009, and 2010. Well, again, Teruya shows up on these committees, and it's one of the other things. She was also on another organization list that got money, and she was one of their board members. So, if you recall, she was also behind the movement to make the Nanakuli Bee site a park, a regional park, when in fact there's no funding for it. It was never considered, but it was a ruse on the part of the Hanneman administration to bring misery to the PVT landfill, the owners of that property. And as I've pointed out, the people that funded and paid for the bus that drove the people down to testify against the PVT company was paid for by George Parrish, the bus. And how did Teruya, as a city employee, and on that date that they went down to testify, she in fact she called in and took off that date. But still, as a city employee and as a neighborhood board member, and then as a, I don't know what, a consultant for the company who wants to build a landfill out in that area as well. But again, she's conflicted. And if it is true, I think if I don't have the facts, and I understand, I'm told that she had a website up, Patty Teruya for city council, or Patty Teruya .web.com, and it has been taken down, and that she has pulled down all of her city council signs. But if that is true, then maybe she's finally getting it. And again, I as I say, I know that this is probably contrary to the aloha spirit and all, but see, when we start talking about government, and when we talk about a weevil in the wheat or a rotten apple in the barrel, for the sake of the entire community, we or someone must be willing to stand up and speak out against it. Now, if it was her private business, I would have absolutely very little, if anything, to say about how she has behaved and what she is doing. But the fact is that she crossed the line, and once you're in government, you have no right to bully people. You have no right to abuse taxpayers' monies. You have no right to put people in a state of mind that they are fearful that if you do something, if you object to a person that works for the city or the state government, you will be retaliated against. And speaking of retaliation, so it may just be coincidental, But this organization in which she was helping, supposedly, one of them, I should say, is now being audited by the Internal Revenue of the state. So I don't know, but the willingness, and when you see the emails and the comments from Mr. David Tenoy acknowledging that she was the one who actually went and filed the complaint while pretending and representing to the people, to the organization, that she was going to speak on their behalf and as a city employee to try and sort things out, which is, I applaud that behavior as a city worker. You're not giving special treatment. So this, what are we getting, folks out there, when we have, this is a person who's well-intended, I'm sure, but where do we cross the line? Why is it that I, when her name is spoken to me, it's spoken in the context of being a bully, of being, there's fraudulent practices, or the questions, and I just cannot believe that she would have been encouraged to go for city council. Honestly, I don't know what it is. I think maybe she needs to go on retreat and learn about herself, and learn that once you decide that you're going to speak on behalf of the public, and if you're going to be employed by the government, you have to carry yourself in a fashion that you can't give the impression that you're unethical. You can't commingle city work and personal work and then stand back and benefit. And there are more greater issues with this subject, believe it or not. I won't go into them because I think that I've given sufficient information, and those of you out there that wish to vote her in, help yourself. I won't engage in telling you who to vote for, but just know that there are a great many amongst you who are terrified, who are simply afraid to not just speak up, but afraid to carry themselves in the normal day of work, in a normal life, because there are retribution or retaliation from Ms. Teruya. And I don't know. Maybe that is the climate that that makes a good city councilman. I don't know. Because if you see, and I had posted my earlier complaints against the Waimanala Coalition, Construction Coalition, and the issues that I raised and what have you. And some of the organizations found those and then in turn contacted me and shared with me their complaints. And they've had to go out and seek legal representation because the involvement that Ms. Teruya, the level of involvement that she had gotten in with these organizations, they felt that they too, if they were to receive a grant, they would also be hard-pressed, or it would jeopardize their organization. So, I don't know what, if she becomes city council person, what committee does she hold? Do we need someone to, when the mayor don't agree with the city council, do we need someone to go in and twist his arm or stand over him and shout or call in the goon squad? Where do we go from here if we invite and allow this kind of character to continue to flourish in government? The neighborhood board issues, it doesn't stop. And when you behave this way, I got to tell you, I wish I could share with you some of the emails and some of the comments and with from some of the people. And a lot of them are senior people who participate in the community out there in Waianae. And they speak to me with anonymity and also with a great degree of nervousness because they are fearful that anything, even if someone take an action against Ms. Teruya, she will just come through and give them some headache. So if it is true again, she has withdrawn, pulled down her signs, is no longer going to run for city council, I applaud her for doing the right thing. But as long as I have this information, we'll have to discuss it, and I will bring it to light. And unfortunately, I shouldn't have to sit here and do this, talk about this. We have an ethics commission, and Chuck Tato has failed miserably on this. And when I called him and shared with Chuck Tato that I'm aware that others have filed complaints against Ms. Turuya, he then told me he'll move the complaint up and give it greater importance. But yet, in that interim, she is actually filed for city council. So apparently his investigation hadn't reached her yet. So anyway, I hope to see you next week, and you can pick up this and other information at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And we'll be talking about a great many other things next week, and I'll keep you posted. Aloha.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.